The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
I'm Josh Peck.
And I'm Ben Soffer.
And we're the good guys. There's a lot of guys out there.
And we're the good ones.
Mazel morons, welcome back to the incredible number one podcast, the Good Guys Podcast. We are here. Benjamin is in shorts and no shoes. Guys, he's not taking our advice. Everything's going downhill.
Should I put on shoes? I just forgot to put on shoes.
I would also say that you do have to be cautious with, you know, where and when you have socks on. But also, I would say that I once wore shorts on a podcast. And I remember watching it back and going like, huh. And then a buddy of mine watched it and said, oh, shorts were a bad move. I was like, yeah. But the angle at which you're at and your kind of legs, you have good legs.
I appreciate that. But now I'm thinking, should I go put on shoes? The people don't like me barefoot.
Nah. What did the people know? What did the people, did we consult the people when we started this thing to be one of the top middling podcasts in the game? No.
No, we didn't. And you know what? If you don't like my feet, what are you, nuts? It's fine. And if you're listening to this on audio and you're like, Ben, I can't see your feet anyways, that's a sign you got to hop on YouTube. Watch us on YouTube. Listen to us on audio. But then if you really want to see us in action, you know, you can't get content like this anywhere else.
That's what I realized. People far prefer our audio version, and God bless them. But I think we need to amp up the video optics of this. I think I got to do more act outs. Look at this. You're missing this.
You just missed something. You have no idea what you even missed. And you'll never know unless you go to Josh's YouTube, watch this episode, listen once. Watch again, then maybe, just maybe, go and listen again. You may have missed something. We want to make sure that you didn't miss anything. Anything.
Listen, and then use our codes for whatever it is. Even if you don't have children, order a KiwiCo. Yeah, it's going to be weird when it shows up at your house and your neighbors know they don't have kids. And you're like, yeah, well, I wanted a panda crate because I wanted to have some, you know, some active fun to like put some things together. Doris. To go fuck yourself, these neighbors. So judgmental.
So nosy. And sure, yeah, I can play with a crate on my own time. Why not? They're fun. They're engaging. They're fantastic. They're
created by teachers. Created by scientists, engineers.
They're absolutely fantastic. Josh, how was your weekend? That's what I want to know. What'd you do this weekend?
My weekend was right down the line, babe. I'm trying to think. You know, the thing about being married with kids in the weekend is that you're in a barter system with your spouse as to how you can get a little bit of time to yourself. So I knew that I was going to take my children to my mom's house last night. Nice dinner, picked up a little sushi. Gorgeous. My mother looks at these kids. She goes, these children, they are the end all be all. They're so advanced. I go, Ma, it's, you know, really, one of them just threw a football at the other one's head. But yeah, so I did that in an effort to, I got a nice workout session in. I've been writing this thing. I had to finish the screenplay that I've been writing. So yeah, what can I say?
You can't drop that so quickly. What's the screenplay? What are we writing?
Writing, that's what I do. I guess. I was thinking about it today. I'm like, I've sold a show and I've written a book. And I've been writing for, you know, on and off for a couple of years. So I guess I wouldn't say I'm a writer, but I do some writing.
And you wrote an incredible song that was supposed to be our jingle that just hasn't been recorded, but it's there. It's written. It's beautiful.
And we got to do it.
And we're going to record it. Josh sent me the most beautiful video of his son, Max, singing our beautiful jingle. And the good guys listeners don't even know this jingle. The morons don't even know it. And when I tell you, it is a complete work of art. Josh wrote, if we were in a beautiful early 2000s sitcom, this is our jingle. That's right. Our Family Matters. This is it, folks. And it's great.
Ooh. What's your favorite jingle of the 90s and mid-aughts? And that's for everyone in the room. Marshall, start thinking. Marshall's 17. Marshall's like, I don't know any of the shows you watch.
It's a Marshall's rare condition this day and age to be in a hill on the newspaper page. Love and I don't even know the words. A grand design. Some people say it's even harder to find. But there must be some magic clue inside these gentle walls.
Sing it, Ben.
I'm just saying that is a jingle, and I think I was made to sing that song.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I can't wait for Marshall to start singing the theme from PJ Mask.
I don't know what that is.
I'd love it.
Okay. Golden Girls. What was the Golden Girls theme song?
That's my favorite. Thank you for being a friend. Driving down the road and back again. My heart is true. You're my pal and my confidant. But doom, 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 doom. And if you threw a party, invited everyone you knew, you would see the biggest gift will be from me. And the card attached would say, thank you for being a friend.
Bum, you're bum, such bum, a show off. It's such a subtle flex to know the extended versions of these songs, right? We're typically given maybe 25, 30 seconds max in an intro. But if you know the full 90 to 120 second song, like Gilmore Girls, everybody knows that little snippet, but right. Nobody knows that full song.
Right. Or like Law and Order. Boom, boom.
Bum, bum, ba-da-bum.
Bum, 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 bum,
bum. Bum, bum, bum. Do you like, Dude. Did you prefer the SVU or the regular theme song?
I don't know the difference. So say more.
They just have, there's slight changes. The SVU one was the answer. The SVU one is far superior.
The SVU one is a little more melodic. I feel like there's like more of like a clarinet.
There is. Type. It goes. Da-da-na-da-na, da-da-na-na-na, da-da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, bum-bum-ba-da-bum-bum.
Oh, Mariska.
I was going to say dream guest. It's Mariska. Has to be. Is it Mariska or Mariska? Is there a sh or a ska?
I don't think there's an H. Marshall, this is your time.
No H.
Thank you, Marshall.
Okay, so it's Mariska. Mariska. Mm-hmm. Okay, I would love her. Absolutely love.
Oh, she's a dream. Wait, Marshall, dream. What was your favorite theme song?
the first one that came to mind was, I know, you see. Somehow the world will change for me and be so wonderful.
Do, do, do.
Is that like Carly?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
It's a good
it's
one for
all
sure.
For real. I'm telling you just how I feel.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. So many good theme songs. I love meat sticks, and I'm not going to hide it. Look, you ever wish there were more than 24 hours in a day? Because same, obviously. Very busy. But Chomps knows real life demands real ingredients. That's why they make healthy snacks perfect for life on the go. Their beautiful beef and jalapeno stick. Oh my God. First of all, I like when I look at the ingredients and there's like less than, I don't know, 5, less than 8. Like so many of these snacks we eat throughout the day have so many ingredients in it, they can't be good for you. With Chomps, you know that you're getting something healthy. There's plenty of protein and just no crap. And for me, I want to know that I'm going to get something with zero sugar, up to 12 grams of protein, low carb. They've got plenty of different flavors and meats, grass-fed and finished beef, venison, or antibiotic-free turkey, because I don't want a turkey on a Z-Pack. And they come in 10 delicious, bold flavors, so there's a healthy snack option for everyone. Seriously, I travel with these. I keep them in my backpack. There's a reason why Chomps has thousands of 5-star reviews. So right now, Chomps is offering our listeners 20% off your first order and free shipping when you go to chomps.com/goodguys. Go to chomps.com/goodguys to see all the delicious flavors and get 20% off your first order and free shipping. That's chomps.com/goodguys. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you.
Well, nobody asked me how my weekend was, but my weekend was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, say more.
I played an incredible amount of golf, and all I have to say is, much to my wife's chagrin, I'm improving. I'm improving. Mm. My game is getting better, even though she has her potions out. She has her rain sticks. She has everything and anything that can make me a worse golfer. If she can put her mind to it, I want this to be a terrible day of golf for Ben. She's going to put her mind to it and it's going to happen. We're fighting against all odds and we're improving. That's all I want to say. And I was invited, Josh, to a pro-am tournament. I'm going to be playing in a tournament with a professional golfer the first week of June, the BMW Pro-Am. Just saying, pretty cool.
Wow, Mazel. I'm a big Beamer guy, big BMW guy. I've had like six in my life. I don't mean to show off all least. Don't worry, I'm not doing that well. But my question is, do you think Claudia's issue with your golfing is just because she doesn't want you to have any fun whatsoever? Because I believe that's my wife as well.
I think that she simply doesn't want me to have any fun without her. I think it's that. I think it's like, if we're going to have fun, we're going to have fun together. And otherwise, no fun will be had.
Yeah, my wife and I can have the best day together ever. And then I'll say like, all right, I'm going to get going. I'm going to go do this thing. And she'll be like, mm-hmm. And I'll be like, no. I'm going to need you to root for me. Like literally when I say, you know what? Like, I'm going to go do my thing. I want her to go get it, babe. Look at all these act outs. You're not watching this on YouTube? Like, I want her to do that for me because I said this weekend, like I knew that I was going to give her like 3 hours off both kids. And thus, when I wanted to go get my fitness in, snort some creatine and just work on my upper lats, I wanted her to be like, go get it, babe. You do this for us and lucky me.
Yeah. Go get fucking jacked.
Yeah.
Go get jacked.
I know.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it's because maybe she needs you more jacked. Maybe Claudia needs me better at golf. Maybe it's the fruits of the labor. Maybe we need more fruit. Maybe we need more fruit. And once we have more fruit, they'll appreciate the labor.
I agree. Yes, I agree. Are you eating? Now, you're in South Florida on vacation. Are you enjoying any good fruits? I feel like that would be an epicenter for good fruit.
Last week, we were in Miami for the week. We took a proper vacation. And we went out to eat every night. We had some unbelievable food. The Miami food scene is buzzing. It's buzzing. Honestly, my best bite of the week, I'm jumping into it early. Mm. My best bite of the week last week had to be at, there's so much to choose from, Contessa. Contessa is all we do is plug major food group restaurants. All we do is plug them. Contessa, it's a new major food group spot. It's delicious. And I had this squash blossom with some beautiful like ricotta cheese. It was amazing. I'm not describing it well, but it was amazing. I also went to this place called Chateau Zizi's. They took a chateau, Josh, and they turned it into a Mexican restaurant, which I know, French chateau into a Mexican restaurant. Maybe I would have gone into French bistro, but they must know something that I don't know. The food was delicious. You ordered maybe a bass. It automatically would come with tostadas, some nice sauces, some pico de gallo, a little guacamole. Everything was made to put in a tortilla. The food in Miami, the scene, it's hot, hot, hot.
Sounds like my favorite restaurant, the Casa de Boulangerie.
What is that?
Nothing. I just made it up. It's just Casa is Spanish and Boulangerie is French.
Understood. I thought you were going to say it sounds like Chipotle, because that's honestly...
No, Casa Boulangerie. Well, a boulangerie is a bakery in France. So like, yeah, maybe it's like Mexican-French bakery.
Sounds fantastic.
Could be good.
I'm in.
People sleep on Mexican baked goods, but they're actually quite good.
I think people sleep on Mexican food in general. Like Mexican food, the way that we think about it in America is very heavy, right? Very heavy, very cheesy, very fried, these enchiladas. But I love just a simple, delicious Mexican cuisine. I love a nice corn dish. What's better than corn? I love corn. And it can be light as well. I love a fajita. You love a fajita, Josh?
Oh, fajita put me away. When that sizzling cast iron plate comes out, I go, look out. It's time for some delicious shit. What a show the fajita delivery is, no?
Unbelievable show. And I just saw a TikTok video that made me feel a little bit worse about the fajita than I've previously felt. Obviously, they must do something to manufacture this sizzle when it comes out the door. But I never really
manufacture. It's just hot.
No, it's not. It's not, Josh. And that's you've been tricked.
Let's
been
ask tricked Marshall. As well. Marshall is half Mexican. Let's not talk out of our ass here.
It's not the sizzle. I watched a video on TikTok. It's perfectly cooked chicken, certainly on a hot plate, but right before it comes out, right before they put a little water on it, so it starts to sizzle and smoke.
Sure, I could believe that. Marshall, let's talk to an expert, please.
Well, I'm not an expert. But it sounds super legit that they'd sprinkle a little water on there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you heard it here first.
I'm just saying.
From Marshall, he doesn't want to be called an expert because he's humble. But we know. Yes.
We know. Are you satyring, Josh?
The last thing I was going to say is really quick is I got this buddy. He's a real piece of shit. And boys, feel free to weigh in on this. So we used to go to this, and he's like he is a white guy, like Tommy Bahama shirt, shorts, Merrill shoes, shout out Merrill, white man. And he would always say we would go to this restaurant and he would like completely speak in English, except when asking for more bread, which he would... He would go, mas pan, por favor. I would go, brother, you might want to drop that. Because if I was waiting on you, I would think you were a schmuck. Guys, what do you think?
Pan? Does he mean
more bread? Mas pan.
Oh, there's bread at Mexican food restaurants?
It was not. It was kind of like they had Mexican offerings. It was also like kind of Italian-y. It was not. It was not a straight Mexican restaurant.
Okay. I think it's good to, you know, try with an accent if it rolls off the tongue nicely. But if you're not capable of achieving a good accent, then just leave it. Just drop it. No big deal.
Okay.
I typically ask for more salsa. That's how I say it. I have more salsa and more pico de gallo.
That's just flavor. I like that.
Good, right? I think it's good. Yeah. Just like a little twang. Guacamole.
I love that. So to answer your question, yes. First of all, Chag Sameach. Happy Passover.
Yes.
This will be a 1 week after Passover when this episode comes out. But yeah, we are going to do a little Seder at my house. But let me give you, I'll give you the menu. You ready? I'm in charge. I think that holidays can be great if you don't feel the pressures to do the traditions. I don't... Now, Passover, I think specifically, it has the origins. It's very important. I think telling the story is fun. And by that, I mean do all the things in 10 minutes or less. But I don't think necessarily, and because like my mother and I are kind of like the only old school New York Jews who are going to be there, and then it's going to be my wonderful in-laws, family, and a couple friends, Jewish friends. So we don't do the traditional like brisket meal. This is what we're doing. Snake River Steaks, shout out. Nice. Mm. On the grill, beautiful, chopped up, ribeye, New York strip, top tier. Wow. Then I'm going to do nice, thin, razor thin chicken cutlets, okay? Mm. Little chicken cutlets, right? But I'm going to make sure that the breading's kosher. Not really. And then get those nice fried, little squirt of lemon, nice chicken schnitzel, beautiful. Maybe like a little, just a sharp arugula salad on top to cut through the fat. And then we'll just do a little salad and veggie. My mom got a flourless chocolate cake. And random, she ordered potato latkes. I said, that's Hanukkah. She goes, you think they'll care? They're Irish. I go, great, let's do it.
So the O'Briens come to Seder. That is, they are just unbelievable people. Thank
Let me
God.
Tell you, I Thank am God. So lucky. They are so fantastic. And I remember specifically Passover 2020 when we were quarantined. We stayed in my in-law's house because we just had our son and we were in an apartment. So it was so hard to quarantine there. It was Passover. My mother-in-law made matzo ball soup and made a little Seder at her house for Passover. Can you believe this angel?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Very lucky. I have a KiwiCo home. My son, when that KiwiCo shows up once a month, that beautiful box, it's going to be a awesome new thing, a project that he can interact with that's going to take up some time, that's going to keep him engaged. And when he's done, he's going to have something so fun that he can play with for the next couple weeks. It's a no-brainer. Look, you know KiwiCo, right? It's created by engineers. Heard of them? Teachers, heard of them, scientists, to create these toys that your kids are going to get once a month that are going to keep them engaged. It's going to keep their mind growing. And that's the whole thing. I'm always looking for something that my son can enjoy but isn't mindless. Their new summer adventure series is a personalized experience, and you'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are. My son just built this really cool, like an entire felt and cloth like costume set, and he loves dressing up and doing all that stuff, but the fact that he made it, makes things even better. From kids from 2 years old to teens can receive 6 hands-on science and art project kits over 6 weeks with enriching content and fun activities to accompany each project. Build the best summer ever with KiwiCo. Get 20% off on your summer adventure series at kiwico.com/goodguyssummer. That's 20% off your summer adventure at kiwico.com/goodguyssummer.
Did you see my recent matzo ball reel with the great chef Jake Cohen?
I did, yeah. Tell us more about that.
I made some beautiful fluffy balls. Gorgeous, gorgeous fluffy balls. That's and right. I learned how to do them from Jake Cohen. He's a great chef. Makes
great
beautiful,
chef. Great
beautiful
guy.
Kosher meals. Great guy. And he also showed me how to make a nice brisket. Everybody has their own brisket recipe. We're also satyring. It's me and the whole Ashray clan, top to
love
bottom.
That.
In Florida, we're going brisket. It's at Olivia's. I'm sure she's making a nice roasted vegetable. I'm
my
sure
boy she's making... Zach, my boy Zach's going to be there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Love
both
Zach.
Zachs are going to be there. We're going to have a great matzo ball soup, I'm sure. Olivia always does it right. But this, the matzo ball, I learned what makes a fluffy matzo ball. You ready for this, Josh? Seltzer. People omit the seltzer. Mm. Seltzer is the crucial ingredient to making your matzo balls beautiful and fluffy. And for people, I'm sure we have a million listeners that are like, what the hell is a matzo ball? Because I remember one time we spoke about smoked fish and it was a girl in North Carolina. Where was
Nova.
She, Josh? That couldn't find locks. She's like, do it. Is it like a padlock? I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was incredibly confused. Matzo ball is a very strange concoction. I don't even know how to really describe it, but it's a great, great addition to a nice soup. Delicious. Kind of think of like an oyster cracker. Like it has a similar sensation. Delicious.
Give the people the history. So matzah is unleavened bread because when we had the exodus from Egypt, when we were enslaved by Pharaoh, which is what Passover is celebrating, we didn't have time when we were grabbing all our things to allow the bread to leaven. Thus, it got baked in the heat of the desert sun, which can you imagine the bitching that was going on amongst Jews?
Oh, my
going
God.
Through the, can you believe the bread? It's not even rising. I wanted to make a sourdough, and Yussi said we better move it.
And that is what matzah is. Unleavened bread, and now we do with it what we can. We celebrate and remember that we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt by eating matzah for 10 days, and we don't eat anything typically that has any bread in it or pasta. It's a fantastic way to lose weight. Except then, Josh, I'm sure that you do this too. I lose so much weight in not having any bread or pasta or whatever, and then I eat my weight in jelly rings. All these kosher for Passover candies. Have you had a jelly ring?
I've had a jelly ring. I've had the marshmallow twist. That's yes. One.
Yes. It's a terrible holiday for a binge eater because you're going to start off, you're eating perfect. Sure, you have a little matzah with your meal, but you're having a salad. You're having some nice brisket. You're having some potatoes, some vegetables. And then all of a sudden, a 2,000 calorie train comes in these kosher for Passover goodies. And I got to tell you, folks, if you don't ever have to have a kosher for Passover dessert, don't. Don't. The way that I'm making jelly rings seem amazing, they're amazing in comparison to eating nothing, but they are certainly not something that I seek out on a daily basis.
You say holiday is bad for overeaters as though any holiday is good for an overeater. Every holiday is awful. It's a trap.
It is a trap. All of them. I was even just thinking for a second, Ramadan is probably good for overeaters, but then you break your fast and all of a sudden you're probably binge eating too.
I just think holidays in general, doing this is this beautiful thing, but, and you tell me what's appropriate, Ben. Obviously you and I are on different levels of observance, but I think that you have to make sure that the entire escapade of the Passover service, which is really going through how the Jewish people became enslaved in Egypt, and then there's some, BME, Big Moses energy, right? Then you go through the plagues, you go through the Exodus, the seas parting, see ya, you know what I mean? Now, I have been at services that are an hour, bit long. I've been at ones that are 2 hours, way too long. I've been at ones that are 2 hours, you eat a bit, you do more service, you eat more, and then you do more service, to where it's almost a 3 hour sermon. What's appropriate, Ben? I say 5 minutes.
I think to each their own. I think it completely depends on the people that you got in the room and how much they care about doing what they want to do. I'm of the biggest opinion that people should treat religion the way that they want to treat religion.
Wear it like a loose coat, you might say.
The main goal of these Passover Seders is to share the story of the exodus of the Jews from Pharaoh in Egypt and let people know that we were enslaved, and the traditions that come with that are the matzah and all of this stuff, but then the bitter herbs and all of these reminders, etc. But the number one goal is to celebrate the holiday and to teach people about the narrative. And that's exactly what you're doing. You're doing the same thing that somebody that has a 4 hour Seder is doing. And actually, what I will say is that you're educating people that didn't necessarily know about the Exodus. So really, right, you're doing an extra mitzvah. They're basically talking in this same inner circle to each other about the same things over and over again. But do we really need to re-educate the people that already know about the Seder more than we need to educate people that didn't know already about the Seder? Just saying. So I think it's a sliding scale. I think you do what's comfortable. And number one, my number one pet peeve is judgment in religion at all. Religion, that's right, and judgment have no place with each other, because ultimately religion's supposed to be used as guiding principles for life. So take those and use them to create the life that you want for you, your family, and your children. And that is my sermon.
I love it. Shout out. I support it. And I found it interesting too, right? Because beyond the guiding principles is the community that it offers. And I remember reading this book about people that were pretty devout, if you could even call that atheists, but people who sort of actively chose not to believe, but they said, they were like, while I have no interest in a God or a higher power, I wouldn't mind a little community.
Yeah, and I think that's most people, though. I think that people use religion to create community and to create structure and to create things to do. Like before, right, we had these big companies creating the marketing calendar for National Dog Day, we needed to rally around pillars. And those pillars were holidays, and those pillars were bar mitzvahs and birthdays and other things that Judaism and religion creates. So big, big fan. Big fan of religion.
Well, why don't we just...
Ooh, quickly, before we get off it. Big fan of religion. Go. And in Florida, there are so many mega churches. You have any mega churches out there?
I'm sure. There's not really room for mega in Los Angeles because of, you know, rising costs in real estate. But, you know, there's good size.
I drove past this place. I don't remember the name, and I wouldn't want to share the name anyways, but I drove past this mega church. And when I tell you, the name of the church was written, Josh, in like Daytona 500 lettering. Enormous. Like you're coming into a freaking party, and you know that you're going in there and you're singing, you're dancing, and you're having a great time. And even as a Jew, I love the mega church. It's great. You're getting people in there all to celebrate Christ while having an electric guitar. Sign me up.
Word up. I'm going to listen to more Creed. Anyway, the New York Post recently had an article called "The Crazy Thing All Ex-Girlfriends Do to Their Replacements." Fact, if you've dated any of my exes, I've stalked your Instagram, probably more than once. In fact, I probably follow it regularly. Not from my real Instagram account. Oh no, I'm not that bold slash tragic. Oh no, I went away for a second. I follow you from my Finsta account, which is an abbreviation for fake Instagram. So if you see someone called Sir_Oatmeal_Fluffy_Pants1739, then it's me. Peekaboo. And it basically just talks about, I know about all your recent travels, what you ate at that fancy restaurant. I was even there to witness your hard launch as a couple on Instagram. I've seen it all, usually at around midnight on a Tuesday when I'm wide awake and the mind is racing. And yeah, she even said, truth be told, should I win the lottery, I would very much like to hire I don't know. Sorry, that was a random tangent. In fact, just last night, I was in a deep scroll of an Instagram account of a replacement girlfriend from 7 years ago. She kicked my ex to the curb a while ago, but she's a fabulous interior designer, and I genuinely love her work, and if I won the lottery one day, would love to hire her. What started as pure jealousy, yes, I can admit it, has turned into admiration from afar behind a fake Instagram account. What do we think?
Terrifying. We think prison. And like, honestly, this girl to me is giving Finst is a bad name. I don't have a fake Instagram account because I have no shame. I'll go and look at anybody, right? Like, right. I don't care. But some people really think like, oh, she's going to see that I looked at this, or maybe I'll like this or whatever. People have too much time on their hands. This girl is nuts. This is no good. This is no good.
I have never done that. Every couple years, you guys tell me if this is weird. Every couple years, like, I'll randomly be curious and like check out of someone who I might have dated, like just look at their Instagram for a minute and be like, oh, cool, they're still kicking. But like, out of curiosity, but that's about as far as it goes. Is that weird?
That's as normal as it gets to me.
Marshall's having fun in a relationship.
Yeah, I don't think it's weird. I've done it on I've used Facebook for that though. Like, I don't have these people on Instagram. Like, I don't know. I just sounded like a 99-year-old man. I don't have these people on Instagram. I think it's totally normal to make sure that somebody that you spent a significant period of time with is still alive and well. And in case they aren't well, maybe shooting them a text saying, I hope you feel better.
Right.
I think the fear comes from an accidental like from 2016.
Right.
So that's why the Finsta gives you that safety. If that notification pops up for them from Fluffy Pancake Blueberry, then it's fine.
No, yeah. I hear that.
Yeah, I hear that too. That's what it is. I understand. But that's deep levels of stalking.
Like, I mean,
it's weird.
I've certainly been on like my sister-in-law's when they've been dating someone and like years ago, and I'll be like, ooh, let me see him. And like my sister-in-law will bring up, you know, the guy she's dating is like Paige. And then she'll be like, don't you fucking like... Be careful. Like, it becomes very, because God forbid, true, I like a photo from 2014 under her name. It's weird.
Very weird. Isn't it also hilarious how we need to see pictures of them? Like, ooh, show me a pic. Ooh, he's cute.
Yeah, of course.
We need it. Yeah, we need it. Or, oh, he's a dog. Get him out of here. No, no, no. How do you tell somebody that their boyfriend's ugly?
You don't. You don't.
Like, what if your sister-in-law showed you a picture and her boyfriend was just, oof, no good? You're lying to her?
No, absolutely not. I would never, first of all, everyone has a type. Secondly, I wouldn't venture to know what that person is providing for the person that I love. So, no, I think that's shitty.
Good answer.
Yeah.
Good answer. It was the only answer to a shitty question, so.
No. I think your question is great because I will certainly say to my wife later that night in bed, yikes. But I wouldn't say that to the person who's showing me.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, honesty comes out with the spouse. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Starring Julianne Moore and Nicholas Galitzine, Starz original new series, Mary and George, is something that you guys are going to love. It's inspired by an unbelievable true story. And you know how we love a true story. Like, I need to know something could have happened. You know what I'm saying? When it's too fiction, it's too up in the air. You know, I get a little bit like, where'd you come up with this? Right? But when I know it could have actually happened, I'm in. I'm invested. Let's do this. It's inspired by the unbelievable true story of Mary Villers, who molded her beautiful and charismatic son, George, to seduce King James I and become his all-powerful lover. I wish my wife called me her all-powerful lover instead of like her... like mediocre friend with benefits. Anyway, through outrageous scheming, the pair rose from humble beginnings to become the richest, most titled, and influential players the English court had ever seen. Yeah. Okay, look, first of all, critics call Moore and Galitzine electric. Julianne Moore, what more is there to say? She's quite possibly our greatest living actor. And I'm serious, the critics are loving this. They say you won't be able to tear your eyes away, and I can attest. So... Watch Mary and George only on Stars and the Stars app. That's right. Watch Mary and George only on Stars and the Stars app.
Hi, I'm Sif Hyder, the founder of Array. I'm a wellness entrepreneur and digital creator, and this is my show, the Dream Bigger Podcast. Listen, I love dreaming big, but you know what I love more? Actually having the resources to make those big dreams happen. And hey, dreams can sometimes be private jets, but other times they can look a little something like having the best skin of your damn life, or starting a successful business, or delving into spirituality. So on this podcast, I chat with experts and thought leaders from different fields about their tips and tricks on doing exactly that. Remember to subscribe. We drop new episodes every Tuesday, so see you then.
There is nothing like, we should start podcasts with our spouses called The Ride Home, because there is nothing better after a dinner, after a social thing, the ride home with your spouse when you fucking drag everyone who was at that event and or dinner.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Then you can finally talk about how disgusting the food was.
Yeah.
What her, how terrible her dress was. We're so mean.
what they were wearing. It's nuts.
God, I thought they were rich. These people.
Well, here's another article. How much Nike is paying Caitlin Clark with historic shoe contract? Any drama regarding Caitlin Clark's next step? Excuse me. Any drama regarding Caitlin Clark's next stop in her basketball career ended when the Indiana Fever landed the first pick in the WNBA draft. In the end, Clark is in line for an 8-year deal with Nike that could end up being worth $28 million, a signature shoe source said.
I love that you picked this article because I have so much to say. First and foremost, Caitlin Clark, what a badass.
What a badass.
I don't know if you've watched her, but she's amazing. Amazing.
Amazing.
And it's very, very rare that you see these just athletes come in that completely transform a sport. But that's what we're watching. The WNBA has been around. They've had their stars, certainly. Lisa Leslie. We all know them. But there hasn't been that one that really just got guys, smacked them across the face, and were like, oh man, she is amazing and I would love to watch her. And that's what the WNBA has needed for so long, to be able to pay these athletes what they should be paid. Because the truth is, you look at a Caitlin Clark contract, she's making $75,000 a year in her WNBA contract. And the truth is, it makes perfect sense when you look at the WNBA's business. The WNBA has no viewers, it makes no money, and there is no real business in the world that pays people salaries that the business can't afford, right? But because Caitlin Clark is so good, she's going to make millions. $28 million from Nike is nothing in comparison to what she's going to make overall. Like, I think she's going to make $100 million in endorsements. She's going to be an Olympian. She's going to be like, she's starting this. And because of all of those eyeballs that are coming off the court, now coming on the court, she's going to increase everybody's salaries. This is going to be the lowest her salary over 4 years will ever be, hopefully. So, shout out to Nike. Honestly, they're doing what's in their best interest. Like, it's in their monetary best interest, their financial best interest, to lock up Caitlin Clark to 8 years, do a shoe, because guys and girls are going to buy that shoe because she shoots from 35 feet and makes it look effortless. And I think she's just amazing.
And I agree with you that I think that we all are standing on the shoulders of the people who came before us, right? So, like,
yes.
If there wasn't a Cheryl Swoops and a Lisa Leslie, like, she might not have been poised at this perfect time, along with her incredible talent and ability to be able to, as you said, like, make the world realize, like, this is a dynamic, competitive, just great thing to watch, and more eyeballs deserve and should be on it. And then you have Caitlin Clark, you have Juju Watkins coming out of USC, who I got to see play live. She's 18 and she's a beast. And it's just, it's an exciting time for sport.
And college sports in general, for the most part, is far more exciting than the pros. Far more exciting. That said, agreed. Quick shout out, because I know we're going to leave sports, and all I want to do is talk about sports. The Knicks are awesome. That's all I'm going to say. We're a 2 seed. We just beat the Philadelphia 76ers. We're up 1-0. Are we going to win a championship? Absolutely not. But the Knicks are,
it's never
going to
happen.
No, never going to happen. They're just not good enough. And the Celtics, It's unbelievable. These Celtics are so freaking good. They're so good. And yeah, we're in trouble. But shout out Knicks. Love them. Brunson, Hart, the boys, the Villanova boys, DiVincenzo. God, we're so good.
Should we listen to a speak pipe?
I would love nothing more than to listen to a speak pipe.
Funny you should say that, because here comes Melanie.
Hey, good guys. Melanie here. Recent moron, OG toaster, but my friend put me onto the good guys, and I just love y'all. I do have a bone to pick with you guys, though. The last episode, you were talking about how bad and toxic joint bachelorette and bachelor parties are, and I completely disagree. 2024 bride here, and we're having a joint bachelor party. It's going to be epic. I mean, I lived in Nashville for a year, and I always saw these bachelorette parties with the bride looking miserable because she's being the loyal queen that she is, and all her friends are just getting drunk, being all flirty and grinding and kissing on all these random dudes, and she just has to sit there and watch them. So I'm like, why would we not have a joint party where I can grind up on my man and my girlfriends can do whatever they want? And also, a lot of our bridal party haven't met each other yet, so rather than them meeting like on the wedding day or rehearsal dinner, we thought we could just all get together and make some really fun memories. So yeah, those are my 2 cents. I try to make this short and sweet, and I'm really nervous right now, but I'm ready for y'all to roast me.
Oh, Melanie, I love you.
All right, thank God we got permission, because I was going to say, if you're a new listener, I don't want to lose you. Thanks for coming over. We're excited for you to binge all of our episodes. That said, you brought something up that I didn't consider. If your whole bridal party and his whole bridal party somehow are single, if you guys are young and you just have like a bunch of flirty friends, that could be fun, Josh. That's nuts. That said, I hate the idea of a joint bachelor party for the guy, because we're not going out to bars. We're sitting back, drinking some beers, maybe experimenting with a couple of drugs, eating some burgers. Fishing, we're doing man stuff. Women can also go and do nice women stuff. You don't have to go to bars and get, I don't know, flirty, as you said. I don't know. Don't take
we're
that away from him.
We're doing man shit. We're smoking mushrooms and we're eating fucking smash burgers.
Yeah, we're just like having a good time being on a boat. I don't know.
Yeah.
We're on a boat.
Yeah, we're being guys. We're drinking natty ice in a boat and spitting on the sidewalk. Guy really shit,
is,
hashtag.
It really is just guy shit. So you're taking that from him. That said, what you explained sounds fine. You really need a flirty weekend with your husband. You're about to have that for the next 60 years.
That's right.
Like let him have a girls trip. Go do something fun. Josh spoke about, what was it, Magic Mike? Go to Vegas.
That's right. Yes. If a video came out that my wife is on the stage at Magic Mike, they do this, and she is getting the lap dance of all lap dances while, like, she is being, you know, there's a certain level of grinding, the kids call it. You know, there's some grinding going on my wife. I would just think that was a hoot. I'm not threatened by this. Those guys are professionals. Shout out my friend Twix. He's in the company. And I just think that here, I think, is the best point. I could never go out with my wife and not worry about her. And by that, I mean, I would want to get her a drink. I'd want to make sure she was taken care of. I don't care what she does, who she talks to, whatever I mean. But like, if she had, you know, I don't drink, right? So she doesn't necessarily have to worry about me. But if she maybe had a little bit too much to drink, I'd be like, all right, come here, have some water. And she doesn't do that. But I'm just saying, like, what's great about separate parties is you don't have to worry about your spouse. Like, you only have to worry about you. And your friends, hopefully, because it's your bachelor or bachelorette, are worried about you. So they're looking out for you. You can have fun and be unencumbered by any of the sort of contracts of being in a relationship where you're going to be a little bit more looking out for each other.
Completely agreed. Completely agreed. So it's clear that you're going down this path of doing the joint bachelor party, which for you sounds like it's the right thing to do. And for your husband, kind of stinks. That's all. It kind of stinks.
Well, if you want to ask us a question or get any advice, go to speakpipe.com/goodguys. It's speakpipe.com/goodguys. Keep it brief. We love you, but brevity. Here's Allie.
Hi, you guys. My name's Allie. Me and my sister Lainey are avid morons. We love you guys. I need some advice. I am about to move in with my girlfriend of 3 months. Don't judge. Don't hate. But I've never lived with anybody seriously like this or signed a lease with somebody. So I just wanted some advice on, like, getting used to living with somebody and, like, some little tips and tricks. Thank you. Love you so much.
You can't do this. 3 months. I'm sorry. You can't sign a lease. It needs to be one of yours apartments. I don't like the idea of moving in together, splitting rent, everything getting so serious and real. Just 3 months in, you don't even know this person yet. Like, we've spoken at this at length. I've been with my wife for 11 years and I'm still learning things about her. 12 years and I'm still learning things about her. So this idea that you can know enough about somebody to live with them so soon after you've met, I don't like it. But if you're doing it anyways, because you did say, don't judge me, I'm doing it anyways, screw you, but I'm coming here for advice. How can I make sure that any advice, I'm sorry, my advice is don't do it.
Here's my advice, Allie. Go for it. You've already signed the lease. You already seem set on it. God bless you and your lovely girlfriend. I'm speaking on behalf of your friends now, Allie. Speaking on behalf of your friends. We don't want to hear it. In 3 months from now, when you're like, turns out she likes to sleep upside down. We don't want to hear it. When you go, turns out she's growing marijuana in her closet, and I think she's part of the mob. We don't want to hear it. You knew what you were getting into. You're getting into a thing with someone you've known for 3 months. God bless. Roll with the punches. We don't want to hear it.
You at least need to run a background check on this person. You don't need a background check on them if you've known them for 5 years. You get them, right? And if they wanted to hide something from you, it's so far gone. 3 months, this person could be a murderer. Am I wrong?
100%. They could be the Tinder swindler.
You never know. You never know. Oh, I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. This home should not be in your name. It should be in theirs. You don't want them messing with your credit.
Thanks, Dad. No, you're so right, Ben. You're so right. I agree. I just think, again, that's what I'm saying. You are doing something foolish, with all due respect. But love makes one foolish. So accept that. Ride the highs, which you're like, wow, we are so out of our mind in love with each other and we're hooking up and living together and cooking together and it's so cute. Do that. But just don't be turned off when you are surprised by all these things that you would have realized if you moved in together after a year and a half or 2 years like normal people.
Agreed.
So should we do What Are You Nuts?
We should. I will start. You know, I just mentioned that I spent the beautiful week in Miami with my wife. We were on vacation. It was fantastic.
Can I ask, Ben, really quick, would you say, and this might sound like a dig and I don't want it to be, I mean it in a good way, would you say you go on vacation like once a month?
I would say that we go on some form, we travel a lot. I wouldn't say that we vacation like this. Like this was like, we're trying to just be with each other and we're nice. Trying to, like, for example, when I come to Florida, I wouldn't say that that's a vacation because we're with like her family and I'm still working. Like this week, there was no work. She didn't work. She took off the toast. Not a dig at all. This was more of a vacation. I'd say that true vacations, we take maybe 3 or 4 times a year.
Gotcha.
A vacation. Went out to dinner a lot. And when you go out to dinner, you know, sometimes the waiter says sparkling or still. And you're not in the mood to say tap is fine. And you say still, right? Occasionally, you're feeling like getting a bottle of still. And there are some people that don't drink tap at all anymore. And honestly, I used to judge them. I don't judge them at all. Our sewer system's disgusting. I don't know where my water's coming from in New York anymore. And so if you're the one ordering the bottle of Aquapana at every meal, I used to judge you. I no longer do. Ordered a bottle of Aquapana at dinner. We finished said bottle. And before I could say anything, a new fresh bottle got there.
Oof.
Finished the second bottle. Before I could say anything, a new fresh bottle got there. They're filling our waters to the tippy-tippy top. And you know, Josh, at these nice restaurants, this isn't a $2 bottle of water. This is a $9 or $10 bottle of water.
That's right.
$9 or $10 bottle of water. And all I have to say is, what are you nuts? I think it's incredibly rude when a restaurant does not ask you, would you like another bottle of water? They don't just say, oh, here's another martini and charge you if you didn't want one. Or, oh, here's another Diet Coke and charge you. If it's free refills, feel free to keep them coming. If it's not, you have to ask, what are you nuts?
I agree. And I would say same thing goes for market price. If I order MP market price, it is your job as the waiter to go, wonderful choice. Good for you, money bags. Want to give you the heads up. It's a $900 steak. Like, you know, just so I know the ballpark in which I am playing.
Agreed. Agreed. I was screwed with truffle once. We won't get into it. I'm sure we have gotten into it.
Okay, my Winnie Nuts is that when I go to pick up my son, and any parent can attest, you know, carpool lines, they're fascinating. And so I know the procedure. I'm a procedure guy. The women who work at my school, they give me props. They go, Josh is a rule follower. Now, you can stop your car in front of the door of the school and let your kid out and keep all the cars backed up into the street. Or you can go all the way around and do it right where like nine cars can literally get into the parking lot. So nine kids can get dropped off or nine kids can get picked up. Then you all leave in a line. Next nine people come. Beautiful. So the other day, you know, we have these revolving new security guards always at the school. And this one guy, new guy, he looks at me, he goes, listen, I'm going to need you to go all the way around, as if I don't know this, right? So granted, you know, I didn't love the way he came at me. So I just look at him and I go, uh-huh. Didn't say anything more than that. Not rude. Just kind of give him a uh-huh. And he looks at me like, oh, this fuck. Right now I see him. This guy's now judging me and I'm judging him. I go, I know the rules. I come here every day. So now I do it all. But of course, now I'm feeling bad. So now I'm trying to connect with him. Right. So now I get out of my car. I go, how's your day? He's not giving me nothing. Won't look at me. Well, he is icing me so hard every day that I've been back to the school. What's up, big man? Good morning. How's it going? Hey, good to see you. Uh-oh, you know, look at this. Hey, Sally over there not listening to the rules, right? You go all the way around. Am I right? What am I, nuts? I am now trying to win over, like, he's the father I never met, the security guard at my son's school, when in reality, he just clearly doesn't like me anymore.
All I have to say, Josh, is a $20 bill could solve all your problems.
I know. You feel a little weird waxing people at your child's school, but I'm down to clown.
I think you got to wax anybody and everybody that's willing to be waxed. I think that's right. I think it's just, if you can get some money in somebody's pockets that they know that, you know, you're a good guy, you're acknowledging that their job is less than ideal, and, you know, you appreciate them. I think if you can wax, all your problems go away. I went to get my golf clubs re-gripped. This is going to be a very relatable story for everyone. I went to get my golf clubs re-gripped. I said, how long will it take for you to re-grip my 14 golf clubs? He said, 48 hours. I said, how long will it take for you to re-grip three? He said, 10 minutes. I said, okay, great. Took my golf clubs, 10 minutes. I said, would this $50 bill change the 48-hour timeline? He said, absolutely, sir. I'll have them done for you in an hour. All 14 done in 1 hour instead of 48 wow. hours because of a little grease. A little grease. That's the title of today's episode. Everybody can be greased.
Everyone can be greased. Just get a couple $2 bills together. And now that we've lost half of our female listenership, I want to say thank you all for listening to the Good Guys podcast. Give it 5 stars. Write a review. It would mean the world. Ben, take us home.
Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, listen to us. Watch us on Josh's YouTube. It's hilarious. We're live in action. It's fantastic. It's like Disney on Ice. Check out our clips on our Instagram, Good Guys. Check out our clips on our TikTok, Good Guys Podcast, Mondays and Thursdays, and we'll see you next time.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.